Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for the day you've given us, Lord, for those that you've brought here today, Lord, and those that have joined us on Zoom. I thank you that we can all be here, Lord, to worship you together. And Lord, I just thank you that, as that song says, that you're our very present help in time of need, Lord. And whatever our need is, it's something that you already know and you already have prepared for, and you're just there to help us through it. And I pray that you'll be with Pastor as he comes to speak, Lord. Just give him the words that we need to hear, Lord. Give us the hearts to hear that and to take these words, Lord, these words that come from you, Lord, and apply them to our lives and make our lives better because of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You guys may be seated.
All right. Good crowd here in the auditorium, and children's ministry is back up and running. Glad for that. And we're just a few weeks away from Easter Sunday, which is the 4th of April, which is also our 20th year anniversary. I can't believe it's 20 years we've been going. And actually, it kind of leads me into what we're going to talk about today, focus, perseverance. When we started this church, and there's a few of you that were with us at that time, we didn't know what God had in store. And there were times that we weren't sure if we were going to make it. We started meeting in a home, the home of Richard and Aileen Zolka, and had a wonderful time there. And then we came across Scout Hall, and we figured we'd rent that for a while. And we figured, you know, and we started looking at properties and rental spaces. And we figured, you know, shortly after we got the Scout Hall, we'd find our own place. We'd build a building. We'd do all these things. It took about 17, 18 years to finally buy this building. Would you would not believe the things that we looked at? We looked at a building that was 150 years old in Enfield. We got close to purchasing that, and that fell through. I remember we looked at the car dealership on Route 5, and that fell through. And we looked at a warehouse, I think it's on Thompson Road here in East Windsor, and that fell through. We looked at a landscaping building, I think Tom remembers this, in South Road in Enfield, and before we could even put a bid on it, somebody else put a bid on it, and that fell through. And I think each time, it kind of made us all think, what's going to happen, until God opened the door for us, this. And I think, if you can say anything about us for 20 years, especially those of us that were here from the beginning, is perseverance. We stuck with it, we kept going forward, we took our hits, and we came back up. And we've had a great ministry. Many folks have come through our ministry. Some have moved on. Some have moved out of state. We've got so many wonderful new people since we moved here. And we're just glad to call you all our family. And on the 4th of April, we're going to celebrate 20 years of ministry. And I want to encourage you, if you're on Zoom, if you can make it inside the building that day, we're doing all the protocols correctly and stuff. I'm hoping as of tomorrow, I'm qualified for the next batch of vaccines. I'm hoping to get mine, but I think things are turning around, and 2021 is going to be a great year for us going into 2022, 2023, and to the Lord returns. But we're going to talk about perseverance, focus, perseverance, and let me give you the definition here, and I just pulled this up online. I Google everything. By the way, I got to tell you, I annoy my wife because we're watching the TV, and she'll say, who is that actor or actress? I'll say, let me Google it. I spend more time Googling who's in the shows to find out what, and then I said, what happened? Well, this happened. I said, well, I was Googling who they were and wanted to see what else they were in and all this kind of stuff, so I have this bad habit. But this is a definition that came with perseverance. It's the ability to keep doing something in spite of obstacles. People who persevere show steadfastness in doing something despite, like this, how hard it is or how long it takes to reach the goal. And I think that's a character I hope we all have. And as we move forward with our lives, maybe you're a person that has your own business, you have your own thing that you're doing, and you want to see it succeed. And I've learned this, it's not always by your talents, it's not even by your resources, it's by your persistence. In fact, anything great in our world has been not because of just the education, the intellect, the talent, the resources, because of persistence. I'm a product of the 60s, born in the late 50s, and in my time is when John F. Kennedy gave that speech saying that he wanted, his goal was to have a man on the moon and bring him back safely within the decade of the 1960s. And I can remember being someone who really, I had the model kits they were making, the Gemini rockets and all those and stuff. And I was fascinated by the space program, especially during the 60s. And there are so many things that came out of the space program that we take for granted today. In fact, if you use Velcro, that came out of the space program. And it's one of those things they learned. It could help them be able to attach things with no gravity. But I remember watching that, and I remember seeing the news when they had, you know, explosions of the booster rockets that didn't make it. I remember the story about the three astronauts that were locked into a capsule during a test run, and the oxygen ignited, and they couldn't get out, and they perished. And they decided to change the opening door mechanism so that somebody could hit a button and get out of the place quickly. But I remember watching all the different attempts and all the different things they did. And then when John Glenn went up and orbited the Earth, and it was a fascinating thing. But by 1969, in fact, I remember this well, because on July 20th, 1969, we landed on the moon. And why that's special to me, because that was my 11th birthday. And at that time, my family was on vacation in New York City. We were taking a tour of the CBS studios, and we were sitting in a booth overlooking the where they had the newsmakers. I'm not sure, I forget who it was, but I was sitting there watching the screens and watching the newscast down there with my family, because we were walking through, and they said, "It's going to land, so we all want you to come see what's happening." And I remember sitting there, and I had a guy next to me that kept flicking my big ears. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I got some wonderful ears. And it kept flicking my ears. I didn't know who it was. My dad finally explained to me who it was. It was Dom DeLuise. How many remember Dom DeLuise? Kept flicking my ears, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so this is interesting. So that's who I sat next to when I watched the Apollo 11 land on the moon. And then we saw the big story about Apollo 13, which was a great movie about that. And the perseverance to be able to get to that place to where we put a man on the moon and brought him back safely. And now we actually have a vehicle on Mars, something that's on Mars that can look around. I saw the meme a few weeks ago or whatever, when they showed the first picture of a person on Mars. It was Bernie Sanders with his mittens sitting in a lawn chair. I didn't know how he got there, but I thought that was kind of cute. But anyways, I'm just amazed by all this. But you know, there are times I'm sure they wanted to give up. There are times they wanted to quit. There are times they just said, you know, we're not going to be able to do this. This is a dream too big. I mean, when the Wright brothers talked about flying an airplane and stuff, I'm sure they thought this is just too big. It's never going to happen. You take something, when you look now at Boeing jets and big giant jets and 747s and how heavy they are, and how that they gracefully fly through the skies and stuff, when you watch them land, you're just amazed that they're going like 140 knots to land, and you're trying to figure out, you know, how they do that. It took perseverance. Anything that we actually admire and see successful takes perseverance. And I'm always astounded by stories of successful people, whether it's politicians, whether it's presidential candidates throughout, you know, our history, entrepreneurs. I think of Colonel Sanders, who failed, was desperate, almost wanted to take his own life. It wasn't until he was in his 60s that he actually came up with those special recipe for Kentucky Fried Chicken, which to me, I'm glad he did, because I love that stuff. It's not good for you. You feel your cholesterol rise as soon as you eat it. But the very fact that he stayed with it for those long, and I think it's important for all of us, because anything that is ever going to be accomplished in your life, in my life, in ministry, in church ministry, in your business, and it's going to take persistence. Even raising kids, it takes perseverance. Because, you know, you get to the point when they're first born, and we got the new grandbaby who's like 8 months old now, cute as can be, and she's starting to stand up. She'll be walking pretty soon, which is always, you know, great to see, until they start walking places you don't want them to walk. And you stay, when you're a parent, you persevere to give your kids everything they possibly could need to be successful in their adult life, and they challenge you at times, but you stay with it. Well, I want to talk about that today, about focused perseverance. And I'm a student of history, and I love success stories. And there's one that you all are probably familiar with. It's about Thomas Edison, who was the inventor of the incandescent light bulb, which we don't use that often anymore because it's not good for the energy. I'm sure he'd be offended by that. But I love the story. I pulled this news clip up from 1878. It says, Thomas Edison, experimenting with the incandescent lights, tested 6,000 variations and different variations before finding one that worked. A news reporter once asked Edison, how did it feel to fail thousands of times? He answered after that, he said his answer after that gives us a biggest clue of them all. I didn't fail thousands of times. The light bulb was an invention that took thousands of steps. And I think it's perception and perseverance that he was able to do that. And we take these things for granted today. A lot of what some of these inventors did, we take for granted. We have the lights here. We have the sound here. We have Zoom here. All this because somebody stayed with a dream and a vision of what could be accomplished. Well, when it comes to the scriptures, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about the fact of perseverance. and chasing your goal and staying on target. And let me just say, start out though, it's easy when you're trying to strive for something to get distracted. To get distracted because of obstacles and setbacks. But the ones who really eventually feel the victory of something are those who stay with it. And we're encouraged to do that in scriptures. The Apostle Paul talks about that. James talks about that. Other authors in scriptures talk about staying with the goal and keeping focus and persevere to the end. So we're going to read some of those passages right now. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and I believe that the Apostle Paul wrote this, says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." That's in the NIV. I also put on here, to be on the screen, the Amplified version of the Bible, which basically is a translation that actually has definitions and explanations of certain parts of scriptures. And here's how it reads here. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive of our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Let's talk about that for a second. When the scriptures talk about us staying with something and not quitting and not giving up, the author here kind of gives us an interesting example and comparison. And it's a hard comparison because I don't think that any of us could achieve this. But let's talk about Jesus and what he did to achieve the goal of providing salvation for mankind. It wasn't easy. Obviously, he was born into a family through the Virgin Mary, and that caused controversy by itself because Joseph and Mary were not married as yet. And so that caused some outcasts among some of the family members at that time. He lived a life in obscurity. He learned to be a carpenter with his stepfather, Joseph. And at 30 years of age, he began to do his ministry. And if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will find that he had obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. He had doubting disciples at times. He had those that were in the religious sect that were trying to undermine him and trying to trick him up to expose him as a fraud that they thought he was. Eventually, I think about this, when he knew it was time that he was going to give his life, that he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible records that he was so emotional that he was beginning to sweat and sweat drops of blood to where his actual corpuscles were actually starting to burst and stuff because of the stress he was dealing with, knowing what was going to happen. Not just that he was going to die, but that he was going to suffer. He was arrested, he was beaten, he was flogged. He was taken and had to drag across to Calvary. He was placed there and nails in his hands and his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. And when you think about that, you think about perseverance. In fact, on the cross, he actually says to his father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at the time that he was dying, taking the sins of the world, God had to turn his back to allow this process to work so that you and I would have hope and salvation in a home in heaven. And then he died, and he was put into a tomb, and 3 days later he arose from the grave. Now I say all that to say this. When God is trying to encourage us to persevere in whatever we're striving to do, whatever goal you have, whatever, you know, business you want to begin, whatever you want to have as your accomplishment, whatever you want to see as your life helping other people, whatever it is, you know, there may be setbacks, but he wants us to think, as Christian people, before we give up, And before we throw in the towel, he says here, consider Jesus, who although he was God, he came in a form of a man, and he endured great hostility from sinful people. But he stayed the course, and the result of that is salvation for all mankind, to those who will accept. That's the comparison God gives us when he talks about don't quit. That's the comparison God gives us about being focused on perseverance. That's the comparison we have as a church 20 years ago when we started this, and we had people outside saying it will never take off. There were people when we started this church that, because some churches don't like, they think churches are all in competition. There's no such thing as competition with churches. We are complementary to one another. There's enough people to reach in this world not to be intimidated by a new church starting up. But there were people that back in the early days of social media were actually dumping, saying basically, we don't need another church. And this is never going to go anywhere. It's never going to make anything of itself. But we persevered because our example is the Lord Jesus Christ, who tells us, you may feel like quitting. It may not be easy. There may be tremendous setbacks. There may be obstacles. There may be those that are opposed to what you're doing. But consider Jesus Christ, who although he had all this against him, stayed the course. And when he was on the cross, he said those famous words you read in most translations. He says, it is finished. And actually, in the Greek language, the word is not finished. The word, it is completed. I've accomplished the goal. His goal from the time he was born was to die on a cross to give us salvation. And so when the Hebrew writer writes this, and it talks about that we need to persevere, consider the witnesses that are watching us, those in heaven that are observing what we're doing, those who are encouraging, and I call it the grandstand of celebratory people that are up there, you know, giving us their applause when we're moving forward and stuff. Consider the witnesses that are watching us, and don't give up. And if you feel like giving up, think about Jesus Christ, that you have your hope in your life. You have salvation. You have a home in heaven. When you and I die, knowing that we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have a life eternal with the Father. Because he didn't give up, we shouldn't give up. Let's talk about another passage of Scripture. This is written out of the book of James. Now, I want you to understand this. James is written by James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He was a hesitant convert at first. I mean, if you can imagine being around, I mean, I got two brothers who think they're perfect, you know. Can you imagine having a brother who is perfect? Can you imagine being the younger brother of Jesus? You're always getting disciplined. You're wondering why Jesus never got disciplined, and mom said he never does anything wrong. And then you find out your brother's walking on water and you can't even swim. I mean, I can imagine it's pretty intimidating for James. But he came around later on after Jesus was resurrected. He became the first pastor of the very first church in history of mankind. And he writes this in his book, a very practical book. He says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, I don't know about you, but I usually don't think of great joy when I'm facing all kinds of obstacles and troubles and trials. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In both these passages, we understand one thing about the idea of not quitting. The reason why there's a conversation about perseverance, because there's probably reasons not to persevere. When James talks about this, he says, listen, when you're going through tough time, when you're going through financial hardships, when you're going through times where you get setbacks in your business or whatever it is in life, don't quit. Because if you learn from what you're going through, you will build greater perseverance. And by the way, and perseverance is a sign of maturity. And you will become mature, and you will eventually complete your task, and you won't lack anything. And there's a quote I'm going to give a few minutes from now about from what Thomas Edison said is very, very true. But I know a lot of people that I've met through my lifetime that were striving to do something and quit way too soon before they would have had the ability to succeed. They don't know how close they would have gotten if they just would have kept on going. Even this church here, there were times when we didn't know if we were going to continue. And we wouldn't know what the fruits of our labor was, having our own place, our own property, growing congregation, even during a pandemic. We would not know if we would have gave up at the 10-year mark, at the 15-year mark. So he says, let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Another passage of scripture was by the Apostle Paul. He writes this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Great words. Great words. Here's the quote I want to share from Thomas Edison. I love this here. It says this, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. You don't know what the next situation is going to be. You don't know what's going to come in and save the day. And people that fail are usually people that just missed the mark by a little bit. They just would have continued on. And I think of great people that I've read about and people I've known that have done this in their lives, that were going to give up, but they went the extra mile. They stuck it out a little longer just to find success. In our Christian lives, God wants us to persevere. The signs of a mature Christian is a person who basically will face the ups and downs, the obstacles, or whatever in their life, and still keeps on going. But it's also sad when we have observed people that basically when they hit a roadblock and they hit an obstacle, they get defeated and they turn away from what God has best for them. And some of the greatest things in our life have been accomplished because we simply persevered. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Whatever your situation in life, whatever you're dealing with in life, what you may be here today or on Zoom and you have, you know, you're working a job, but you're trying to start your own business because you're tired of working for somebody else. You want to work for yourself. Am I ever going to make it, especially during a pandemic? How can I do this? Most everything that our vision had turned to virtual, by the way, because now you can't do a whole lot unless you do it on Zoom. And Zoom, by the way, I wish I would have invested in them about a year and a half ago. I really do. I wish I would have bought stock in them and in GameStop. Stock. I wish I would have bought both those stocks. And the bottom line is that to me is you don't know what's around the corner. In fact, during this pandemic, it's interesting that there are a lot of things that actually have become very successful. I'm sure the companies that made masks did not think that they were going to become very, very rich during the year 2020. And now you have designer masks. People are now, they're advertising, you know, matching your mask with your clothes. I'm not doing that, but they do that. You never know what's around the corner. And as Thomas Edison said, is that the great failures are those who didn't realize how close they were to succeeding. Let me give you a few thoughts here real quick here about this, how to persevere. Very simple. I never try to give anything that's real profound, but I just want to make sure we're clear on this. How to persevere. First one is to have a clear vision of your preferred future. And I've used this phrase, preferred future, a lot of times, and you may get tired of it, but I think it's a good two-word phrase. And the reason why this is we're going to have a future. The future is whatever happens tomorrow. Tomorrow's the future. Next week's the future. We can determine what is our preferred future by focusing on and having a clear vision about what we want to happen in our lives. When even it comes to raising children, some folks here today are still raising children. We've raised ours. And it's hard sometimes to imagine what they will be like in their adult life. But you have to have a clear vision of what you anticipate when they turn 17, 18, 19 years old, 20 years old, 21. And when they're 6 and 7, it's kind of hard to see that. But the best way to be able to help them succeed in life is to visualize what you want to see in their lives. And then begin to persevere and begin to work towards that goal of a preferred future for your children. We've all done that. If you're here and you're trying to run a business and stuff, you need to have a preferred future of what you want to see happen in a certain amount of time. So have a clear vision. I remember when we started this church, it was hard at first because this church wasn't started by years of planning to start a church. It came out of some obstacles that I was going through and some others were going through that started the church together. And so it wasn't a thing to where, you know, I said, you know, back in 1998, we're going to start a church in a couple of years and do this. It was basically this church concept came about in about a 3-month period of time. And so we did not have this grandiose plan of what was going to take place. We just knew we needed to get people to meet somewhere and have church, and we met at a home in Summers, Connecticut. But once we got to Scout Hall, we began to visualize what it was going to be. Some of us went to conferences. We went to a conference in Nashville, Tennessee. We've gone to other things. We've done video conferences to see what other churches were doing, trying to adapt to the new medium that we were in, especially with technology and stuff. Because we first met, it was so interesting because I remember this. Our first services, we had an overhead, no, we had songbooks, and then for some songs, we had an overhead projector. Remember those? Okay. And then when Sarah sang a solo, which, by the way, is just a beautiful voice. I think my grandson is on Zoom today. He's almost 4 years old, and he wants to be, I thought he wanted to hear me speak, but he wanted to see Sarah sing. Sorry, Tom, it's not about you, it's about Sarah. But Noah, how you doing, buddy? I'm glad you're here. But he wanted to see Sarah sing, you know, and so. But the thing about it is, we had a boom box. Remember boom boxes? And you turn the music on, and you hit the button, and a cassette tape would play. Now, you know, this is 20 years ago. But we got into Scout Hall, we began to analyze what we wanted. We started with a small stage, we bought a sound system, and eventually we bought a bigger stage, we did all these things there. But then we started getting a vision for having a building. And I can remember this, okay? We went to a lot of places to look, but when we found this building, we walked in here, this was a traditional setting church. You can tell by the beautiful glass behind me, which I think is beautiful, and it's over 150 years old, so it's beautiful to have in our building. But I remember, I said to Tony, I said, we need to make this fit our style. So we got here the very first day after we signed the mortgage on a Friday. Saturday we showed up, and I knew we were in trouble when half the guys showed up with sledgehammers. I said, oh, we're in trouble now. And they started tearing things down, and we got buckets of paint. And we turned this to place in a traditional church setting into a place to fit our type of mode. And then eventually we had to go to a thing where technology was Zoom and stuff. The thing about it is, it all is a vision. And sometimes we rob the vision from somebody else. There's nothing new under the sun. So we were looking at other ministries, what they were doing and how we could operate. We had a clear vision. And as we go forward, we're going to have a clear vision. And the ministry is going to develop and change as the young people grow up and take leadership roles in this church. It won't be the church I looked at. This is not the kind of church my dad inspired to be. But it became us because we kept sitting down and re-looking at the vision. What do we want to accomplish? What is our preferred future? What do we want to see happen? Anything in your life, if you're going to succeed and you want to persevere, start with a clear vision. Second of all, this is very simple, see setbacks as steps, not failures. Every one of us has blown it. There are things in your life you tried and it didn't work out. We've raised three kids. And I can tell you that I want to try the trumpet, Dad. Okay, got you a trumpet. It lasted 6 weeks. It's on the shelf. I remember when Megan, and she may be hearing this, wanted to get rollerblades. So we went out and bought rollerblades. She did rollerblading one time in the drywall, and then they hung in the garage wall forever, ever, and ever. To me, as parents, we're like, okay, we're investing money. If you're going to have rollerblades, we want you to be Olympic champion with this, okay? We're not investing you unless you do something with it. In all reality, life is full of setbacks. And when you're raising kids, they're going to try things, and sometimes they're going to fail, and sometimes they're going to succeed. The test of character that you share with them is not the setbacks. It's not looking at it as a failure. What did you learn? What steps do you learn from this? Go forward from this. Setbacks are part of life. We've had them in our church ministry. We've had them in our personal life. Every business owner I know has had a setback. In fact, I know business owners in the last year have had multiple setbacks, and they had to change their mode of operation, including doing those family meals, which many of us enjoy so much. I love the Taco Tuesday from one place. And I got an amen there. And the thing about it is that when this situation happened a year or so ago, restaurants were going to survive or die based upon the fact that they changed the way that they do their service. And I can remember going up to restaurants and having a number, parking in number spot 45, text them, say, I'm in park 45, I've already paid for the meal, they bring it out to you. And they survived because they looked at setbacks, not as a failure, but as an opportunity to learn new steps. And some of these restaurants are going to succeed very well after this pandemic because they're going to have more variety of ways to serve their customers. Setbacks as steps, not as failures. And then the last one here, never give up. Winston Churchill, who was a great leader, and I've read a lot about Winston Churchill. He was a person that, even in his own time, there were those, because of the political system in England, Great Britain, they didn't like him too much because he was kind of rough around the edges. He was like our General Patton. He said what he thought. He was very direct. He didn't have time for politicians playing games. He knew what needed to be done. He was asked to give a speech. And when he gave the speech, they were waiting for this awesome, you know, lengthy speech. And by the way, if you ever heard a politician, they love to hear themselves talk, don't they? But he gave a speech, and his speech was simply this. It lasted probably less than a minute. He simply said, never, 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 never give up. And I remember that as the shortest speech ever, in the fact, just telling us people never, and that was during World War II, when Great Britain was being bombed with the Blitzkrieg from Germany, and the Nazi panzer were coming through, and they were invading stuff, and he just gave the speech, never, never, never give up. Perseverance is key to any success. By the way, perseverance is key to success in your spiritual life. Because we have an enemy that tries to knock us for a loop. When you are following God, you know, Satan is not concerned about what's happening outside for those that are fluttering by. Satan gets concerned for those that get on fire for God and have a passion for God and want to be a leader for God. When you do that, I guarantee you, he's going to throw everything he can at you to get you defeated. I tell our leaders from time to time, and we're going to have a leaders meeting in a couple weeks here, that, you know, because you stepped up to have a leadership role, whatever it may be in the ministry here, and take on some ministry or whatever, you're a target now to get you to quit. Because if you quit, others who may be influenced by what you could do for them are going to be discouraged. And that's what Satan wants. And I want to encourage you is that never, 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 never quit. Spiritually, in your work, in your life, in your business, stay the mark. This last year has been a test for everybody to keep going. Parents have to be beside themselves that are raising younger children, working jobs, being a teacher in the building there. And I'm so glad personally that our teachers are getting vaccinated in this round here, because I personally believe that is the wisest thing to do, to give them that comfort zone to know we can open schools, because kids, I have grandchildren that are suffering because of the fact they're not made to watch a screen. It was so funny. A year ago, we were telling our grandsons, get off the screens. Now what we do, we created a culture that get on your screens. It doesn't seem right. But they need that human contact with a qualified teacher who knows what they're doing. And this is a long time coming, because I think probably the most essential workers we have, other than our medical teams and public safety, is our teachers. And the thing about it is that there's been times that I've talked to teachers who just felt like quitting, because people may say, well, teachers got it easy. They can sit at home and do their classwork. Most teachers are hating this. They got into the work to be able to touch the lives of children. And I know of teachers that felt like quitting this last year because it just isn't working for them, because they want to see the result of what they're doing on a daily basis. To me, as I appreciate the ones who didn't give up, who stayed steadfast in what they're doing. So keep persevering. Focused perseverance simply is that this is what I want to see the outcome, and I'm going to stay with it. My business, whatever I'm doing, my hobby, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to stay with it. Let me give you the walk away here. The walk away is simply this: a river can cut through a rock not because it's strong, but because it's persistent. If you see a stream, if you've been to Colorado, the Rocky Mountains, and you see a stream or a waterfall come down in the most unusual places, it's taken thousands of years for the water to get to a certain spot and cut through, not because the water was strong, not like a tsunami, because it was persistent. Little bit after a little bit after a little bit, and eventually it broke through. A river can cut through a rock, not because it's strong, but because it's persistence. That ought to be our life motto here. I'm going to cut through the stone of obstacles and difficulties, and I'm going to stay persistent in what I'm trying to achieve, and I will see it come to fruition. I will reach my goal, whatever that may be. That's the lesson for today. I think we all need to hear this once in a while, because in all reality, I think it's easy to quit. The very fact that the Apostle Paul and the James wrote these passages tells me there were people, and there were people during those days that were being persecuted for what they believed in. The first 70 years of Christianity was not easy. There are many that died a martyr's death because of what they believed in. And their encouragement was, consider him who was had all the hostility against him, Jesus Christ, but yet he finished his course. Apostle Paul says another place there, I keep the fight on. I finish my course. I'm not one that likes boxing against the air. I am focused on where I am going. That's the lesson for today. Stay persistent. Hit your goal. Succeed. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this day, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just use what we talked about here today, Lord, just to encourage us, Lord. As I prepared this lesson this last week, I kept thinking about people that are struggling and people that have obstacles and feel like giving up, whatever it may be. And God, I want to encourage them, Lord, through your strength. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, may we rely upon your strength to help us to accomplish what we set out to do. May we see our preferred future and have a vision for it. This is what I want to see accomplished, God, and I ask for your help to do this. Spiritually, Lord, this has been a test this last year in all of us. There are many people that have fallen by the wayside because things changed. And for a while, there wasn't people meeting in church buildings, and it discouraged some people, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would rejuvenate those people, bring them back to where they need to be, realizing, Lord, that this church is strong because of the people that are together moving in one direction. I thank you for the persistent leaders in this church for over the year, Lord. I thank you for the fact that we've had leaders in place for over a decade, Lord, that have stayed with it. Even during this last year, Lord, stay persistent. Even though their ministry wasn't up and running like children, it took a year to be able to get that back going, Lord, but they stayed with it. And God, we stay with it because the children need us to stay with it, Lord. They need consistency. They need persistence. They need adults who are going to say, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to make sure my kids have a preferred future. God, I ask you to use this lesson today, Lord, to help us stay on target, focus on direction, and finish our task. We ask in Christ's name, amen.